The scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 and 9 through 10. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let the waters under heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters were gathered together, were called seas. And God saw that it was good. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, and the earth and land separated. And God called it good. This good earth, created by God, God whose breath stirred the waters, whose voice called up land, created to be good. Out of goodness, we were created to reflect the goodness of God. And yes, there is so much goodness to be celebrated. Later in the text, we hear the second creation story where God mandates that humanity steward the earth, care for it, ensure its safety and its flourishment. The earth is still good, and so are we. And yet in so many ways we have fallen short. Yet now, as humanity has taken a forced pause, we've given Earth a little bit of breathing room. And as I've come to know, any time we take the time to pause and breathe, everything seems to rejuvenate. So we've had an opportunity to reflect in our breathing as the Earth has begun to breathe in a new way during this pause. Now, we can take that moment to reflect upon the goodness of the earth and our responsibility to it. Over the years, I've come to realize that there is no one more responsible or aware of the earth's goodness than one of our dearest. I met him first before he came to the church. His wife's job was relocating them to California, and his very first thought was, "I have to find a church." Now, he called multiple churches, but he got me, and I could tell that first phone call that there was a connection. With due diligence, they visited Fairview and a few other UCC churches around town, but they found their home at Fairview. For several years, we were blessed with their presence until the situation changed and her job returned them home again, but none of us will ever be the same. Their spirit joined with ours and the spirit, and they became a part of the FCC family. And once you're one of us, you always live in our heart. So what a joy it is to introduce our in-house environmentalist, and now we know in-house is even bigger than we ever thought it was, who embodies this sacred, simple life, his heart so big, his connection to the earth so very strong, all the way from Denver, Colorado, because of the miracle of technology and the hard work of Mike Carrigas and others, I get to introduce our dear Matt Royster, who will share a word on care of creation as we consider this call to stewardship and this good earth that God has created. Matt.
Well, good morning, friends. You know, sometimes people ask me how I got started taking care of God's creation, you know, the earth, our home. My usual answer is, well, it's my faith and my obedience to God. But when I unpack a little more, remember a little more, I remember Sita Stroyer and Nellie Harst, both women I admired for their beautiful gardens. Nellie Harst was a mother of 6 boys, none of which were my exact age, but I would often go over after school hoping to play with one of them. Usually I was able to do that, but when no one was home, Nellie and I would garden. I loved that. Soon I was bringing plant starts and cactus leaves home to start my own gardens. I soon had a large vegetable garden, and small rose garden, and 2 cactus gardens. It was amazing. There was something about putting my hands in the soil that made me feel connected to the earth, connected to God. Then to watch what I had planted grow and flower and bear fruit, wow. Wow. That was so cool. I was in elementary school. Wow. As my faith began to grow and I became closer to God, it was clear to me that it was up to me and up to us to take care of this very special earth that we call home. In the Bible, you know, we are charged with taking care of the earth. Well, I decided in high school that my 10-speed bicycle was all I needed. I wasn't ever going to buy a car. Well, that didn't work out, but there are many other ways that I have acted to care for the earth. About 30 years ago, my dear friend Bonnie was given this huge jade plant. And it was supposed to be 100 years old. It was huge, huge trunk. So I asked her for a start from it. So she broke off a piece and I planted that. I couldn't believe that I had something that was part of a 100-year-old plant. Wow. Then I noticed, maybe this wasn't that unusual. Because you see, for every plant, every tree, God created ways for each of them to regenerate, to die, and be reborn, thus making all of them very old and very new. I love how God designed, you know, an apple and an orange and a kiwi, a tomato, a squash, so many more, just like them. They have everything they need to start a new plant or a new tree. So an apple falls from the tree, it lands on the ground, and over time it begins to decay. Inside are the seeds and the moisture and the fruit meat. So seeds may easily germinate and roots can begin to grow and possibly connect to the soil underneath it. And maybe a new apple tree is born. God's amazing design. Of course, the covering helps those same fruits and vegetables and nuts, helps them last for us so that we don't have to eat them immediately. And wow, that is such an incredible design. Wow. God designed everything to eventually break down, to compost, to recycle, and become new again. Now think of the plants and the trees that send out roots to begin new trees or new plants. Colorado has beautiful aspen forests, the largest of which is, it covers several mountains, all connected by the same roots. Just as us, just like us, one huge organism. You see, our roots are directly connected to God. But then I saw the magnificent California redwoods. Wow. You know, some of those redwood trees began growing when Jesus was on the earth, and the same tree is still growing today. So now think of the sun and the moon and gravity and the tilt of the earth. Their careful balance keeps us from freezing or burning up. The tilt gives us seasons to grow our food. Tides in the ocean move because of the moon's gravitational pull, while Earth's gravity keeps us grounded. Wow, high air pressure moving to low air pressure moves a whole bunch of evaporation from the ocean over to the land to bring us water, and then you know, winter snow stores the water we need to make it through the summer. Such incredible design. So all the aquatic life in the ocean, all the birds, all the animals, our pets, all the trees and plant life, God made them all. We are truly living amongst the miracles God created every day and every night. So many things we take for granted or just don't notice. But thank you, God. Thank you, God. I hope you feel that with me today and notice all the daily miracles in your own life. Just think of those. Don't forget that you are one of God's miracles. So here we are in April of 2020, celebrating 50 years of Earth Day. Of course, we know that, well, every day is Earth Day. We need to take care of the planet every day. But now there are 7.8 billion people living on the Earth. We know that we in the U.S. are the biggest consumers of energy and resources and just stuff. We know the Earth is in bad, bad shape, struggling to survive our abuse. We haven't known how to get off the crazy merry-go-round that we've been on and say, wait, wait, we can do things differently. But now, because of this pandemic, our merry-go-round has slowed way down, and suddenly the air is cleaner in spite of the White House relaxing EPA regulations on coal-fired power plants and several other things. Not really sure how that helps the COVID-19 crisis. But the Himalayan mountains can now be seen for the first time in 30 years from the northern state of Punjab, and that's in India. There are many examples around the world of cleaner air in cities, and people are being more careful not to waste food. You see, in the U.S., we waste about half of the fruits and vegetables that are harvested. I know people are in pain, having lost jobs, or trying to save a struggling business, keeping up with the rent and putting food on the table. But if you are able, please use this pause in your life to see what you may do to lessen or to shrink your footprint on this earth. Take what you are learning and intentionally redesign how you live. Driving less and working from home and eating organically, eating less meat, knowing what you can recycle and purchasing recycled items to complete the circle. Because you see, this creates the market for those recycled items, makes it viable. Paper can be recycled five times. Paper, five times. And then glass and aluminum and steel can be recycled an infinite amount of times. Most plastic, but not all, can be recycled with a mixture of new plastic, making it not quite as recyclable as we may think. So reuse what you are able, buy less, use less. Remember, whatever you purchase, they make more of the same way. Grow more of in the same way and package in the same way. So be picky. Be picky. See what you send to the landfill as a missed opportunity. So try not to send anything. You know, I never thought to thank Sea Destroyer and Nellie Harst for the amazing gift they gave me. Oh, and thanks, Dad, for digging up all that hard dirt to start those gardens and inspiring me to take care of the earth. I invite each of you today to go out and get dirty. Get dirty. Get your hands in the earth. Plant some vegetables or flowers. If you don't have a yard, well, plant it at the church or in pots. If you're able to garden with your children. Teach them. Or garden with your grandchildren or a neighborhood child, some water, and some TLC, and watch it grow together. You never know just who you may inspire. So may God bless you on your journey to take care of the earth, and don't forget to notice that you live amongst God's miracles every day. Every day.
May we live among the miracles, recognizing them even in the midst of the pain and suffering our world is experiencing today, because we are surrounded by the ancient and the budding of new life all around. Matt's words are powerful, but his song even more so. So Matt, will you share us one more time with your words and your song, that we might not only hear your words, but feel them as you sing them across the world.
Friends, this song is called For Alex. It's written by Joyce Johnson Rouse. She's also known as the Earth Mama. She's written amazing songs. And so this song is for the children. For the children, for the grandchildren, for all those future generations we're planning for and making sure we do our part for. So again, For Alex. Jack in the pulpit, sweet potato vine, nest of a robin, creeks that gently whine. These are the wonders that everyone should see. Untouched by humans, living naturally. I will walk a little gentler for you. I will live a little simpler for you. I will do my best to leave this earth better than I found it. I will walk a little gentler for you. Tiny green turtles hatching at the shore, eaglets and falcons learning to soar. They all deserve a habitat and a home. We all are neighbors, no one stands alone. I will walk a little gentler for you. I will live a little simpler for you. I will do my best to leave this earth better than I found it. I will walk a little gentler for you. Lessons of nature are lessons we all need. Wisdom and magic in every living seed. I will walk a little gentler for you. I will live a little simpler for you. I will do my best to leave this earth better than I found it. I will walk a little gentler for you. I will walk a little gentler for you.